is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. Big Preds game tonight against Winnipeg. But Floyd Reese, you came up yesterday with your free agent needs for the Tennessee Titans, and we have heard nothing from the Titans so far.
Right.
Not a peep. Which, again, when I look at some of these contracts getting signed, like Sammy Watkins, 3 years, $48 million, 30 guaranteed, I'm like, you know, maybe it's probably good to not be in there.
You're glad you didn't do that deal.
A little bit. But I've got my wish list in front of me of guys, and we're going to go over them, Floyd, because the Titans do need to be at least a little active with $60 million in cap space. So here you go. Your list was one defensive back, safety or corner, but one defensive back, wide receiver, running back, linebacker, edge rusher, and offensive guard. Where would you like to start?
Wherever you want.
I would like to start with defensive back.
Okay.
Number one on my list, Malcolm Butler from the New England Patriots. Now, I'm not a huge Malcolm Butler fan, and I probably don't want the Titans to spend the amount of money that it would take for them to get Malcolm Butler from New England, and I got to know what happened in that Super Bowl game. But Logan Ryan said earlier today he was recruiting somebody to the Titans, so maybe it's Malcolm Butler who might be the top corner on the free agent market. What do you think about Malcolm Butler and how he could fit the Titans?
Well, I mean, he's going to be expensive. You know that. And so you have to get that right in your mind. And if you can afford him and you're willing to go for him, yeah, be somebody to look at. You're going to have to find out, like what you said, what did happen in the Super Bowl.
I mean, there's no way he was benched just because they think he's a bad player, right?
No.
Like, there's no way that he got benched because they thought Eric Rowe or Johnson Batamosi or Jordan Richards are better players than him.
No.
So something happened.
Yeah.
So we got to know what that is, because if that's something serious, like, look, I know Belichick has his rules, and his rules are probably stricter than everybody else's rules, but there's no way Bill Belichick is keeping him out of the Super Bowl if he isn't the end-all be, if there isn't something he really screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that Bill's rules are stricter than anybody else's. It's just that he does what he says he's going to do. And if he tells you, hey, you go out and you do this or that, or this happens, or then you're not going to play in the game. And you do that, and you're not going to play in the game.
Ladarius Webb, who is literally both a corner and a safety, 32 years old, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Ladarius Webb has played, again, both corner at a very high level when he was younger, and safety post-injury now that he's a little bit older. But the big name here that comes with Ladarius Webb is Dean Pease. So he's the only defensive free agent from the Baltimore Ravens that I would even consider. But what do you think of Ladarius Webb?
You would have to rely on Dean for all this. Now, if you were going to sign him, if I was going to sign him, it would just be like a one-year contract, you know. Here it is. Let's get you out here and play here. But Dean, I think, would hold all the cards on whether or not you go after him and what it would cost.
Well, the tough part here, too, is that it's like, you know, a 32-year-old guy that's pretty old and has been injured, and you're talking one-year deal. Last year he made $2.1 million, so you're thinking probably 1 year, $2 million or something like that. Whereas with Butler, it's probably a four-year, $50 million contract.
Well, yeah, well, maybe even more.
The two guys so far we've talked about come with totally different commitment levels.
Oh, absolutely.
Prince Amukamara from the Chicago Bears at corner. Now, this guy seems to be in free agency every single year, which means that the teams that have him don't seem to love him that much, but he is a legitimate NFL corner, and you're talking about him being your third guy along with Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson and really battling with LeSean Sims for that third spot.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a talented guy. He has skill. I'm not sure he would fit into the locker room here.
Is he a bad locker room guy?
He's unique.
What do you mean by that?
He's unique. He's, you know, a little different. Unique.
So you're no on Prince Amukamara?
I wouldn't.
Okay. Are you yes or no on Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're satisfied with all the questions.
And are you yes or no on Ladarius Webb?
I would leave that up to Dean.
Okay. T.J. Ward, the safety from Tampa Bay, formerly of Denver, 31 years old. Last year he played in 12 games after he was traded in the preseason to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think I would say no. It's just more of the problems you have.
He seems like a bad locker room guy, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I used to want any of those Denver guys. Those Denver guys are bad locker room guys. Seriously. Okay, that takes us to linebacker. Number one at inside linebacker, because Avery Williamson's probably going to go, and we know that Wesley Woodyard is not a young pup. Number one, Navarro Bowman. Bowman last year was released by San Francisco, had a productive end of the season with the Oakland Raiders. He has played at a Pro Bowl level and All-Pro level in the past. What about Navarro Bowman?
You know, I would be worried about him from an age injury standpoint. I think he'd scare me.
So you're out on Bowman?
I would say no.
Even though he did play pretty well last year at times. I mean, I would at least give it some kind of look. Carlos Dansby has been a very good player in the league for a very long time, but he's 36 years old. And so he's up there in age, but he has been a really effective player for a while. What do you think of Carlos Dansby?
I would stay away from it unless I just had absolutely no other choice.
Because of his age?
Yeah. I mean, 36. That's up there for
a linebacker. But he's been a good player.
Yeah, but that's old.
Okay, Derek Johnson at Kansas City, 2 years ago, was one of the best defensive players in the league. He's 35. Played last year after his Achilles injury, was one of the leaders of the Kansas City defense. But again, 2 years removed from an Achilles injury, 35 years old, Derek Johnson, formerly in Kansas City.
No. And didn't he get hurt again at the end of the year?
I don't think so, because I remember him talking in the locker room after the Titans beat them in the playoffs, and he was like, we let him in, we let him win, you know, that kind of thing, and he was really disappointed about it, but he's out there. Preston Brown from the Buffalo Bills. Preston Brown is 25 years old. He's an inside linebacker who has never missed a game in his NFL career. Brown is not a spectacular player, but he is a very good tackler.
I think you would have to talk to him, although you would bring him in knowing that he's probably not solving the problems you already have.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, he's not a cover guy. You know, he's a rundown guy.
So he's basically just a better version of Williams.
He's a bigger, maybe better tackler than some of the guys we got.
Okay, what about Nigel Bradham from the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'd have to talk to him.
Talk to him about what?
About, I mean, see what it's going to cost, see if he'd be excited, see if
so he is your so scheme. Is your I'd have to talk to him, is that you saying yes, you're at least mildly interested before deciding if you want to sign him?
Well, I mean, what it amounts to is you got to, at some point in time, whether it's legally or not, you're going to call the agent and talk to the agent, and you want to get an idea of, is he healthy, what kind of, you know, what kind of money are you guys looking for? I mean, if you're thinking with a guy like that, you're saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to pay this guy $4 million a year. And he says, well, we've already got offers for $6 million a year. Then he's off the list.
Okay, so I think if you say you're going to talk to somebody, that at least means you're kind of interested in them, which I'm okay with. That takes us to wide receiver Jordan Matthews, formerly of Philadelphia, formerly of Buffalo, and formerly of Vanderbilt, a second-round pick, who at times had really a hard time catching the ball and has never really caught on in the NFL, would not command a big deal, but certainly has the physical tools. Jordan Matthews, could he be a fit for the Titans?
You know what? I think you'd have to talk to him just to bring him home. I mean, I agree with you. He's never quite lived up to what we thought, even though when he went to Philly early, he looked like he was going to have a chance to be a pretty good player. Then he started getting dinged up and, you know, a lot of stuff. But he'd be worth talking to.
Like, when he was at Vandy, I thought he was one of the best college receivers I've ever seen. And that's high praise because he got Vanderbilt 16 wins over 2 years. Like, he was that dominant of a player in that league. And then for him to go to the NFL and just be Casper the Ghost has been kind of, like, it's been unexpected for me. So I definitely think talk to him. Dante Moncrief in Indianapolis, 24 years old, great talent, former Ole Miss guy, but really struggled with Andrew Luck out. What do you think of Moncrief?
You know what? When he's on the field, I like some of the things he does. I really worry about everything else. And it's an unknown to me. But like you were talking about, well, when he just checked out when the quarterback went down and
dropped a touchdown against the Titans in the end zone.
Yeah, I don't need, you know, I don't want to bring in a problem child. But I will say this. He is young, and he's played well against the Titans from time to time. So I'd probably talk to him, but I'm not sure. You know, I would be a little skeptical to begin with.
But is he a problem child off of reputation, or is he a problem child because he's an actual problem child? You know, you kind of ran into that with Kevin Carter, and like Alshon Jeffrey was a problem child when he went to Philly, and he was no problem at all. And I think there's got to be some, like we do have to take into account that he could just be problem child in reputation, but that he's actually a good kid.
Well, yeah, I mean, all that's a possibility. But, I mean, I'm going with you, like you're when we were talking. You say, well, when the quarterback went down. When you hear that about kids, I mean, you know, you kind of – something wrong there. So you automatically take a step back.
I would be okay with bringing Moncrief in. Jordy Nelson, recently released by the Green Bay Packers, 32 years old. But Floyd, Jordy coming off of a season in which he had almost as many yards as Sammy Watkins and 2 years removed from a 1,200-yard receiving season. Jordy Nelson, what do you think?
Again, I think it'd be somebody you'd have to talk to.
I talked to all three of these guys.
Yeah.
All right. I'm finding guys for the Titans.
See how easy this is?
Okay, I got two running backs. Deion Lewis and Carlos Hyde. Deion Lewis with New England, your thoughts?
I'd probably talk to them both.
What's your big fear on Hyde? Because we were talking during a commercial break, but I was thinking about this today. What is the problem with Carlos Hyde? He is a bona fide give it to him back, and he catches the ball out of the backfield. And normally those things are hard to find, but we haven't really heard a peep about Carlos Hyde.
He's got size. He has been productive in the run game and the passing game. Has a little juke to him. It's hard for me to imagine San Francisco is, and what's he, 24, 25?
26 or something
26?
Like that.
26? It's hard for me to imagine San Francisco would just let him go and there's somebody else on that roster a lot better.
They haven't said anything yet about him. You know, they didn't tag him. They didn't re-sign
him. That's what I'm saying. So he's out there. So they're saying, well, you go ahead and, you know, sign someplace else and be okay. Always makes you wonder, now, wait a minute, he's too good.
So we're giving him a red flag just because.
Yeah, but I'd talk to him. I mean, I'd find out but with both of them.
And Deion Lewis, what's your biggest concern, injuries or fumbles?
Fumbles.
Even if he's just a compliment to Henry as basically a third down back?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you have a fumble problem, whether you're a first down back or a third down back, it's all going to come out at some point in time.
So here's who Floyd would talk to. Ladarius Webb, Malcolm Butler, Preston Brown, Nigel Bradham, Deion Lewis, Carlos Hyde, Jordan Matthews, Dante Moncrief, and Jordy Nelson. I like that list. By the way, I put Dominic Rogers-Cromartie on here, but I know you wouldn't want to talk to him, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd want to do what they wanted to do. And
move him to safety?
Yeah, and he didn't like that, so no need talking to him.
Well, I think your bigger issue with him would probably be the fact that he walked out on the team last year.
Yeah, he's a little shaky.
615-737-1025, free agency rolling around, 615-737-1025. And the question, I guess on some level, I've got to ask, where are the Titans today? 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.
I think we can all improve. I think listening to what you asked about, you know, to John, where we need to improve. We need to improve. The goal is that we improve at every position. And I think that I learned this early on as a player in my career, that our job as coaches and scouts and general managers is to try to replace every player on the roster with one that's better and cheaper. And as a player, your job is to not let that happen.
That was Titans coach Mike Vrabel. Well, I'm waiting for them to improve, but there's no anything from the Titans yet.
You can see he's played both sides of that, though. It's interesting. Yeah, we need to replace him with better, cheaper. And the other side of it is, as a player, you got to not let him do that.
There's some truth to that now. Again, I wonder, we haven't heard anything from the Malcolm Butler camp about anything. There's been no peeps about Malcolm Butler, and there have been no talks about the Titans. And I wonder if that means that they're talking, the Titans and Malcolm Butler. But we'll go to your phones. Bob is up next here on Jared and the GM at 615-737-1025. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys, love the show. My brother-in-law is from Rochester, New York, and has been a season ticket holder for the Bills for like 30 years. And he thought that Sammy Watkins was the biggest flop in the world because he was injured all the time. And if, you know, he got a bruise, he set stuff out. So I'm sort of happy we didn't have. But I have sort of a little theory question for Floyd.
Yes, sir.
All of the older quarterbacks, if I use the term, we'll say the ones, you know, 30 and above, are all pocket passers by, you know, by making a living. Everybody's using a run and shoot today. Should we be going for a younger guy? And I'd like to hear your idea.
Thank you, Bob.
You know, they have actually tried that over the years of these guys coming in and running around. And the problem is, a la, you know, RG3, you can't keep them healthy. When they get out of the pocket and they're doing some of the things they can do in college, well, when you get hit on the sideline in the NFL, I mean, it's 50-50 as to whether or not you're going to get up. And in college, especially if you're a guy like, you know, Cam Newton in college, I mean, he was bigger than half the defensive players. So they have discovered, not discovered, I think most people have realized that, you know, to be the really successful quarterback in the NFL, you have to become a pocket passer at some point in time. Doesn't mean you can't run with the ball. I mean, we see Aaron Rodgers pull it down and run with it, but the truth is he's a pocket passer.
Well, that goes back to the same theory that I hate all the time when people are like, Matt LaFleur is going to unleash Mariota. I'm like, what does that mean? Well, they're going to run it more now. Well, okay, now Mariota's out in week 3, and it's time for you to go ahead and go find a new quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, all of that is scary. When the quarterback pulls it down and he's running with it, everybody holds their breath. You know, even sitting in my house watching it on TV, as he's running and you can see the defense approach, you're yelling, get down, get down, get down. You know, slide, slide, get down. Simply because you don't want him to take one of those hits.
Right, like I'm okay with you taking a hit when you're trying to get around Barry Church to win the season. Like he did last year.
Yeah.
Everything else, get out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like once you get your first down, get out of bounds.
Yeah.
Just get out of bounds. That's all I ask. Ramal on Twitter says, J-Rob ain't no gambler. He got lucky with DeMarco, and even Matthews was lucky. That, then, I can't wait to hear this on the radio. I don't know what this means.
Huh.
J-Rob is no gambler. He got lucky with DeMarco, and even Matthews was lucky for him. So that's all he's got. I don't think to me, not drafting number one overall is gambling, in my opinion. When you traded out of the number one pick, and you got a – because we all knew Joey Bosa was going to be good. Like, we all knew Ezekiel Elliott was going to be good. But when you traded back, to me, that was a gamble. When you took Corey Davis fifth overall, coming from a small school and being hurt, which, by the way, right now does not look like a good thing, but – when you do that, to me, that's kind of a gamble. So I don't think
I mean, actually,
gamble.
Yeah. I mean, actually, there are probably several gambles in there, and that being one of them. You know, I think all of us, when we had that draft party sitting there, I mean, I don't think there was one of us that thought that Corey would go at 5.
Oh, my God. When he went at 5, I mean, I
– I mean, we all thought – where were we, at 18 or something like that?
Oh, yeah, you know, at 19. That was the talk that at 19.
We were thinking, okay, it'll be at 19. And we were all good that he was hanging there. Then all of a sudden you make the trade and you're thinking, oh, man, who are we going after? And then you draft the guy at 5, you're thinking you were going to get at 18. So, but I think on John's part, I mean, there would be a lot of people that you convince that was a great move. And it still may be. You know, the jury is still out.
His best game came in his last game against New England.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's safe to say after an offseason and one season that it was a gamble.
One quick thing I do want to get to. It looks like all the quarterback jobs in the NFL have closed up now. Bridgewater to the Jets. Breeze stays in New Orleans. Cousins to Minnesota. Keenum to Denver. I feel like I'm leaving a couple out. Yeah, Bradford to Arizona. to me, it looks like Buffalo is the only job open. A.J. McCarron would be a good fit to be the backup to Marcus Mariota. Or at least you might be able to get A.J. McCarron, who was convinced he could go be a starter, to back up Mariota. From the standpoint, if you go to McCarron, you offer him $8 million a year, and you say, okay, you come in, but we'll let you kind of compete with Marcus a little bit because we're not totally sold on Marcus, and we know Marcus gets hurt a lot, so you come in and you'll get an opportunity to play. What do you think of that idea?
I don't, it could be. I mean, it'd be expensive, I'm sure. I keep thinking now that Buffalo has all those choices, they're going to jump out there and
take a quarterback.
Make a trade and, yeah, get themselves in position.
And just play that guy right away?
Yeah, get themselves in position that that guy's going to step right in and play.
So, in your opinion, Buffalo is already filled even though it's not filled, which would leave no quote-unquote open jobs in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I really thought after they traded the tackle and they got the – they moved up number one, that there was a quarterback out there that they were going to – make a move with.
Oh, I still think there is. Like, I still think they're sitting at 10 or wherever the Bengals pick was. They're still sitting there with their other second round, other first round pick, and they're probably going to launch that to get to 4. I mean, could you trade from 12 and 22 to get to 4?
From where?
12 and 22.
The two ones?
Yeah.
Sure.
So there you go. Now you're at 4. Now you take Sam Darnold and you're good to go. I mean, I certainly think that is an option. We're live at Bridgestone Arena where the Preds are taking on the Jets tonight. Speaking of that draft and what those teams might do, Trevor Maddich is here. He will join us next. It's Jared and the GM. We're live at Bridgestone Arena where, of course, Thursday you can hang out with us because the men's college basketball tournament is here. That's right. Thursday, come on out to watch live from the Lexus Lounge for a one-of-a-kind experience that offers guests the following. You can watch all the tournament games going on Thursday on multiple LED televisions, and unlimited draft beer, house wine, and soft drinks, an unlimited buffet featuring sandwiches, pizza, wings, and more. I got to watch myself when we get near that buffet, FYI. And, of course, you can watch the open team practice sessions held at Bridgestone Arena and much more. To purchase tickets, NashvillePredators.com/watchparty18. Call 615-770-7800 for that. Jared and the GM, we're live at Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Trevor Maddich is with us here. Crazy free agent day. So, Trevor, we hear all the numbers. We hear all the money. We hear all the craziness and everything going on, like Sammy Watkins, $30 million guaranteed when the guy had 500 yards last year and can't always stay healthy. But the Titans have not been mentioned in any of this, and we're looking at wondering what are they going to do. And my question to you is, you know this draft. The Titans have 6 picks in it, picks rounds 1 through 6. Or do you think it's okay that they're not going crazy today on these free agents like everybody else?
I think it's fantastic they're not going crazy on the free agents. And Floyd, you tell me if I'm wrong. An NFL franchise will never tell its fans that they're not close to where they want to be, and it's going to be several years before they get there. They always say, we're building to win the Super Bowl this year. But the fact of it is, if they try to build to win the Super Bowl this year and they're not just a few players away, they will sacrifice and compromise their long-term prospects. I mean, I just go back to the Redskins over the last 20 years. Right?
Great example.
How would you rate the Redskins? Now, not the last couple years, but really, you know, 5 years ago and before. Floyd, how would you rank the Redskins' style of acquiring free agents?
Oh, I never saw anybody overspend, spend so much money, and get so little for it.
Instead of keeping your powder dry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Getting the younger guys that you think you can develop, and then building through the draft. Look at the franchises that are – who are the most consistent, outstanding NFL franchises, Floyd?
New England.
New England?
There you go.
Would you say Green Bay?
Green Bay.
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, so why are they always at the top instead of up and down and up and down? Why are they always competing at the highest level? How do they build their rosters?
Draft.
And it takes time. Doesn't
yeah.
It takes
yeah.
time. So I hope that the Titans don't go nuts with all this cap space and bring in a whole bunch of flashy free agents. I hope they lie to their fans by telling them they're building for the Super Bowl this year. But then build like the Patriots built. Mike Vrabel saw Bill Belichick do it. and build a solid foundation through the draft and bring in key free agents from time to time, but only when they're right.
Speaking of free agency, you went through free agency as a player.
I did.
Give me your impression.
It's fun.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, man, it's like you're the prettiest person at the dance, right? It's like you're just standing there, and they're lined up, and that's when they tell you how great you are because they want you to come. It's like college recruiting, right? You got all these teams lined up. They want you. It's so emotionally satisfying to have NFL franchises tell you all the reasons they want you and try to sell you on coming. Now, once they start negotiating contract with your agent, now they say how bad you are.
That all changes.
But that's why you have an agent. You know, it's not just to get you more money. It's so that you don't have to hear the team tell you why you don't deserve more money. Let the agent hear those words, you know. But, yeah, as a free agent, it's pretty cool. Well, as long as you have suitors. If you're out there and the phone's not ringing, it's a pretty bad day. It's like a lot of those juniors or underclassmen that come out and declare for the NFL draft out of college, and they shouldn't, end up not getting drafted. You go through 3 days of their name not being called, and all of a sudden it becomes a different issue. But I tell you, free agency is I guess if I'm going to say it in one way, it would be this, okay? You're a strawberry inside of a blender on high, and that's what it feels like to be a free agent.
I don't think it feels that way if you're Kirk Cousins today, though. 86 guaranteed from that standpoint.
How about that, though? Fully guaranteed. Because that sets a different precedent.
Guess who doesn't like 86 guaranteed? That guy.
First thing I said, I said we need to keep this day in mind because this could be a mess before long.
Why?
Because everybody's going to want it.
Everybody's going to want it.
You know it's going to be.
But you can want it. I want a lot of things. I really do. But I'm not going to get them.
I think this is the hard part. And it's not the player. A lot of the players that will ask really are not worth it. But if you will give that to Cousins, do you need to give it to Mariota when he does his next deal?
No. Not if you unless you want to keep him.
And you want to
the only reason you have to give it to Mariota is if somebody else gives it to Mariota. Mm-hmm. If they offer it, and that's it. So really, it doesn't matter how good you are. So Cousins becomes the highest-paid player in NFL history, let's say, or the highest-paid quarterback. Does that mean he is the best quarterback? No. He's just in a position where his leverage at this particular moment is better than anybody else. But he's not better than Tom Brady or Drew Brees or anybody else.
Well, yeah, but what – okay, let's use Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, good. Who would you rather have, Cousins or Rodgers? Right, Aaron Rodgers. You know, but Cousins became an unrestricted free agent as a quarterback in his prime after three consecutive 4,000-yard seasons, 4,000-yard passing. That's never happened before in the history of the NFL.
Well, which I'm not disagreeing with, but if I'm Aaron Rodgers' agent, I'm not listening to any of that.
Yeah, but you could ask for it. And the only way
so
you'll
get
it.
So what happens when Aaron says, give it to me or I'm leaving?
Yeah.
Then you say, okay. You put a tag on him that allows you, a non-exclusive franchise tag, allows you to match any offer. And then if somebody else offers him that much, you match it and keep him. If they don't, well, you get him for cheaper. And you get him a little angry. But he's got to understand it's a business too. But keep this in mind too about this Cousins contract. 3 years, $84 million, fully guaranteed. Well, normally what you'd have is a five-year contract with $84 million guaranteed and then another bunch on the back end of that that's not guaranteed at all.
Right.
So really all this does is remove the team's option on keeping Cousins after that third year. And actually this is much better for Cousins because ordinarily, you know, with that $84 million guaranteed, then they give him another 28 or 30 or 32 million, whatever, is year four, and then year five, and the team can decide whether or not to keep him. And they'd be able to prorate that guaranteed money over 5 years instead of 3 years on their salary cap. So it's actually better for Cousins to become a free agent again after 3 years instead of five.
And you have to see how they define fully guaranteed. You know, they're saying it's fully guaranteed, but it could be fully guaranteed for injury or whatever, you know, anything other than truly fully guaranteed.
But wouldn't you say, though, that the Vikings are just improved quarterback play away from the Super Bowl? I mean, that's a solid defense. It's a good running game.
There's a lot, though, that goes into making the Super Bowl, too. You know, it's,
yeah.
You know, I like, from Minnesota's standpoint, they lost in the championship game, but they were only in the championship game because of a boneheaded play from New Orleans anyways.
And that's a good point.
Would we feel the same way if Marcus Williams makes the tackle of Stephon Diggs? Do we feel the same way about Minnesota today? Does Minnesota feel the same way about Minnesota? I don't know.
Do we feel the same way about Eli Manning
David Tyree.
Yeah, I get helmet confused catch. With Tyreek Hill of Kansas City. If he doesn't make that catch behind his helmet, what do we think about Eli Manning? Yeah, well, he had a good run 1 year.
Yeah, but the Super Bowl, the way I look at it.
But they don't win the Super Bowl, though. You know, the Patriots win that Super Bowl if he doesn't make that catch.
There is some truth to that. Trevor Maddich is with us. Okay, middle linebacker. So we went over some middle linebacker candidates. Avery Williamson turning down a 4-year, $12 million contract. They need a guy that can play all three downs. Because they have a guy in Jayon Brown, Trevor, who can play third down, and Williamson can play first and second down, but not a guy who can do both. In this draft, is that guy there, or do they need to get it in free agency?
If that guy's not there unless they want to move up to get him. I don't think Rashawn Evans of Alabama will be there. Roquan Smith of Georgia, inside linebacker, will definitely not be there by the time the Titans pick. Rashawn Evans of Alabama, at the end of the first round, he might not be there. Even so, I think there might be some better options for them than Rashawn Evans, but if they took him, he'd still be a good player. He'd be an impact player at linebacker, I believe. But after that, you don't have that complete every down player. I mean, one of my favorite linebackers in this draft will probably go about the sixth round or so, and that's Micah Kizer of Virginia. He has been a machine for 3 years, one of the most productive inside linebackers in all of college football. He has pretty good straight line speed. He ran 4.66 at the combine, which was faster than a lot of people thought he might. But when you watch him on tape, what's he missing? Well, he's missing fluid hips. So he's a good, solid tackler inside. He's incredibly smart. He is an amazing guy to have in your locker room as a team leader. He's a guy that Mike Vrabel, the concept of do your job, can find a job for him, and he will do it exceptionally well. And he'd come cheap in the sixth or seventh round. Problem is that he's a liability in coverage. And offenses will find a way to make him cover somebody and go to that matchup. And so you find guys like that after the level of Rashawn Evans that are going to have a compromise like that. And if I'm the Titans, I don't take an inside linebacker before a guy like a Micah Kizer unless it's Rashawn Evans in the first round.
What about the Boise State kid?
Yeah, that's Leighton Vander Esch. Now, he is a phenomenal player.
Floyd loves him.
Outside linebacker. What do you love about him, Floyd?
I mean, I've only seen him at the combine.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know he only played 1 year, and that's a question, especially at Boise State for me. But, I mean, big, can run, smart, good effort. I mean, just off of the hoof, he looked really impressive.
He's fantastic. But now we're going to outside linebacker. I was thinking inside. If he's available when the Titans pick at the end of the first round, he'd be another guy that would be an impact player for them. And I think that he would be a good choice when the Titans pick. Was it 24 or 25?
25.
25. Yeah, I think he'd be a good choice. But after him, I wonder what are the linebackers you would want to stretch for that high. One of the guys is Lorenzo Carter of Georgia. But he's the guy that I wonder about his football character. I just do. I just don't know how much he loves the game because I've seen him disappear too much. But he's a guy with great individual talent. Arden Key came into this last college football season as one of the top edge rushing prospects and ended up playing himself right out of maybe the first two or three rounds, just because of football character questions. And so Leighton Vander Esch has no question at all. And again, a guy like Mike Vrabel can take a Leighton Vander Esch, who does not, in my opinion, have the weaknesses that a guy like a Micah Kizer has, and use him in a lot of different ways that you can use a smart linebacker.
And in your mind, the Georgia kid and the LSU kid,
yeah.
I know the discussion has been not exactly the same, but similar on both. What's the issues with the Georgia kid?
The Georgia kid disappears.
Mind?
He looks like Lawrence Taylor on
effort?
Some plays.
Yeah.
It's effort. Now the question is, why effort? Did he play with an injury that we don't know about? Did he just not have the desire? It's like a greyhound race, where they go around a track and the rabbit goes out in front of them, right? This rabbit is a little mechanical thing that when it takes off, it triggers the dog's chase instinct. That's why you never run away from a dog who's charging you, because it'll trigger his instinct and he'll keep charging and attack. And that rabbit is out ahead, and those dogs, man, they want to get that rabbit, and they give every ounce of speed they've got, not because they're trying to beat the other dog, because they're trying to catch that rabbit. Well, football players are like that. The rabbit is the opposing player with the football. And I don't see Lorenzo Carter chase that football because he loves chasing that football every single play. Now, I can't say that he lacks football character from that standpoint, but I can say that that's a big question mark for me, because if I'm Mike Vrabel, I don't want to start populating my locker room with guys that I have a question about how much they love the game, because that goes to preparation as well, and that can infect the team.
Now, what about the other kid?
Well, okay, Trevor Maddox with us. Before we get to Arden Key, we'll get to that next.
Okay.
Plus, Alabama had their pro day. What guys could fit the Titans? The running back situation, do you go Carlos Hyde, Deion Lewis in free agency, or do we look at those Nick Chubb and the Kerryon Johnson types in the draft? That is all coming up next with Trevor Maddox from ESPN right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Breaking news, Trevor Maddox and Floyd Reese with us here, Jared the GM. The Titans, according to Adam Schefter, are signing Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler. According to Adam Schefter, quote, former Patriots corner Malcolm Butler intends to sign with the Tennessee Titans. Per sources, Butler will play for former Patriots linebacker Mike Vrabel and former Pats personnel man John Robinson. Floyd Reese, I called it at 2:15 today. I called it. I never get anything right, and I called it. But Malcolm Butler is a Titan. What do we think of that?
I mean, I like it. Right? We talked earlier, and I said we got to have a DB. Now, I wasn't sure if it was going to be a safety or a corner, but I think it's a good move.
Per Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, a 5-year deal, $61 million, 30 guaranteed. That too much? Too little? What do you think?
It's never going to be too little. So, what's that average? 12?
Something like that.
Yeah. That's about $12 million. So they're expecting him then to be a shutdown corner. That's what they're expecting him to be. And maybe he is that guy. I know what he is, though, is very versatile. He can play zone. He can play man. He can play inside, outside. He's got a lot of versatility. He also comes from a program, the Bill Belichick system, that will mean that he'll be an asset in the locker room to a secondary that kind of took a step back last season. It's a lot of unproven guys in the secondary, but guys with talent. And Butler will come right in and bring that Patriot, not just mystique, but that Patriot way. I'm sure Mike Vrabel doesn't want to call it the Patriot way. It'll be the Titans way now. But he wants everybody to prepare and to commit and sell out to their role the way that the New England Patriots do. And Butler in the locker room is a guy that'll help improve that process.
I think that's part, and I agree 1,000% with that. You know, to bring guys in that have Super Bowl rings, I mean, that's going to be, I think that's big. And Logan Ryan, I mean, I have tremendous respect for him. And I'm sure Logan had to sign off on this one way or another. And that means it's got to be a great move. I mean, is undoubtedly the strongest position on this football team right now.
I'm sorry, Trevor, but don't we have to think, my only concern with Butler, because I love the player, my only concern is whatever happened
that
for the Super Bowl.
Right.
But if John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and Logan Ryan are all cool with it, don't you think they have to know what actually happened that kept Butler out of that Super Bowl game?
Without a doubt.
I think Butler would lie his teeth out in talking about what happened. But because of the relationship that Bill Belichick has with Mike Vrabel having played linebacker on Super Bowl championship teams for Bill Belichick in New England, I think that Belichick would tell Vrabel the truth.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to let him go, they're going to let him go. And it's not like the Patriots were in a position to have to compete financially to keep him as a free agent in New England. They were going to let him go. And so Belichick had no reason to do anything other than to tell the absolute unvarnished truth to Vrabel. I believe that he probably did, and Vrabel is okay with it then.
Now,
but I still want to know, though, because, I mean, you sacrifice your ability or you diminish your ability to win a Super Bowl by benching a guy at the last second and not playing one of the best defensive backs or one of the better defensive backs in the NFL for the Super Bowl, and then don't explain why. I mean, it couldn't have been something like he had a hot dog on the sideline during pregame warm-up. It was something big.
Something else. And he's going to have to answer that question 10,000 times now.
Yeah, well, or once if he does it well, correctly.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, once again, the Titans have signed, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network and Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, Malcolm Butler, former Patriots corner, 5-year deal, $61 million, 30 guaranteed. So now the question here for me is, you went from having no corners a couple years ago to Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, and Malcolm Butler. That's got to be one of the best groups in the NFL.
Certainly, it has a great opportunity to grow. Butler will come in and be solid from the beginning, no matter what scheme they play. But remember Adoree Jackson now. Adoree Jackson is just a young pup.
Yeah.
He still doesn't know how to play in this league. He wants to. He's a hard worker. He's a talented athlete. But now to have a guy to go under his wing like Malcolm Butler, that'll make Adoree Jackson a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one to me, I mean, Logan Ryan, I think, is going to be the leader of that group. And I think that is a great guy to be the leader. And then you throw in, I mean, you know, we've got some other guys back there at corners that we were really excited about that now all of a sudden you look at your fourth corner and you go, wow, that's a pretty good fourth corner. And, you know, that's, I think that'll be true across the board. So, and then you got Baird back there too. So you've got an all-pro safety to top it off.
The question you always have to ask is, how does this help Marcus Mariota?
Yeah.
Because that's what matters. The way this helps Marcus Mariota is it'll hold down the big plays by opposing quarterbacks. It will keep the score down and keep Mariota from having to take big risks and allow him to stay with the game plan instead of having to get out of the game plan. Everything about this team is about how do we maximize Marcus Mariota, and this does by keeping the score down by the opponent.
And I think, too, you know, it solidifies a part of the team. I mean, you've finally gotten to a point where you can say, okay, maybe we're in a position we don't need secondary help anymore. Doesn't mean you quit bringing them in, but you're not looking for a starter every second of the day. Maybe now you turn a draft choice that you were going to have to use in the secondary, and now you get a rusher.
Right.
You know, maybe you get and it may change even your first round pick. You know, who knows?
Yeah, it might. It might well, because to get an elite caliber corner in the draft, you've got to take them high. You can get good running backs in the mid to late rounds a lot, but elite corners, not so much. You've got to take them up high. And so this takes away the necessity of doing that.
I like this move because, and I'm not one of these blind faith guys that says, hey, if John Robinson tells me it's so, then it's so. Like, I don't just believe whatever anybody says. But I got to believe between Robinson, Vrabel, and Logan Ryan, they got to the bottom of whatever it was between Belichick and Malcolm Butler.
But see, there's a flip side of motivation as well, because Malcolm Butler was humiliated on the biggest stage in the biggest sport in America. I mean, the cameras were on him. The talk was about him. Where's Malcolm Butler? What could he have done that was so embarrassing or egregious or heinous that they wouldn't play him in this Super Bowl when it was clear that they needed him? And for 3 full hours and for pretty much every day after that among NFL, you know, big fans, the question has been, what's wrong with Malcolm Butler?
Oh, yeah.
And for a guy with a lot of pride, you want to prove that wrong. And so you'll get everything out of Malcolm Butler.
I like this move. I mean, this is what I like the move now is, you know, we didn't even talk about Byard in that mix, but he led the NFL in interceptions. So you've got Byard, Butler, Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, LaShawn Sims comes back from injury. I like him. My thing is, like, we talked about this before the Patriots playoff game about, okay, how are they going to match up with all these guys? And they just didn't have enough guys to match up.
Right.
Now I feel like they have enough guys if they get into a game like
especially that. Especially in this division with some of the quarterbacks you'll be facing, assuming Andrew Luck gets healthy and Deshaun Watson down there at Houston. I mean, you're going to need to match up that way on the perimeter. But now look at the group in front of them, the linebackers, right? So we're talking about, well, where do you get a linebacker that could fill in and upgrade the defense in the draft? Well, I don't know that there's an interior linebacker that'll help him that much, but Zach Brown is a guy to keep an eye on. He played for the Redskins last year. And
he was here, drafted here, and it didn't work out with the old coaching staff, but who knows about a new staff.
He ends up in Buffalo. He ends up leading the league in tackles. They ended up letting him go for financial and other reasons. He gets to the Redskins and leads the Redskins and was leading the league in tackles until he got hurt in the latter part of the season. And he's a guy that would upgrade this defense as an inside linebacker. He's got great range. He's a solid tackler. He's as good a cover linebacker at the inside linebacker position as you'll find in the NFL. Certainly is available in free agency or the draft. And I think that this is a guy then that they could also invest some of that salary cap space in to allow them then to draft other guys at other positions instead of reaching for a position of need.
Run like crazy now. Fast.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Fast.
Mobile. And if it didn't work out here before, he's a different guy now. The Titans are a different team now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think he'd be, you know, I think Zach Brown to the Titans would be really bad for the Redskins, but I think he'd be good for the Titans at the right price.
Trevor Maddich is here with us, ESPN college football analyst Floyd Reese. The Titans, once again, if you're just joining us, have signed Malcolm Butler to a 5-year deal, $61 million, 30 guaranteed. And Floyd Reese, I mean, this is one of those moves that we were talking all day today about the splashy move, and we're not hearing Titans, and we're not hearing anything about Butler. What of all the big moves today, this might be one of the best ones when you factor in money, age, production, etc. Like, it's not Sammy Watkins who caught 500 yards yesterday. It's a guy who's won a Super Bowl.
Won a Super Bowl and played, I mean, last year, I think his play time, it was like 98 or 99%.
Yeah, well, until until
the Super Bowl. I mean, he never leaves the field. So he is out there all the time. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's a great move. I'm excited about it.
And keep this in mind. A couple of years ago, the Redskins signed Josh Norman as a free agent when the Carolina Panthers didn't franchise him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was a 5-year, $75 million deal. So the Titans are getting a guy that they really like that's a Super Bowl champion, which Josh Norman was not, for 5 years and, what, 61 or 62, you said?
61, yeah.
That still puts him in elite money level.
And Josh was signed, what, 3 years ago for you? So, really, it's
right.
Almost a bargain.
So it's not breaking the bank. But, you see, elite corners don't get away very much, just like elite quarterbacks don't. But Josh Norman got away because they chose not to franchise him for a variety of reasons. They went to other directions. And Malcolm Butler's has gotten away for reasons that we don't know. And so Kirk Cousins is getting away from the Redskins for all kinds of whacked out reasons. So what is another team's problem is a different team's gain, and this is great for the Titans.
Floyd, I called it. Will you at least give me a little credit there?
No.
Okay, here's what we're going to do.
I don't want to hear
this. No,
this.
I was walking into this room.
We're going to have to hear this. Oh, Trev, don't do it.
Bridgestone Trev, Arena.
Don't do it.
Trev. We're in the pub. We're looking around at barrels, looking at tables.
You
and
don't
I'm walking
have to
into
sit
the room,
here.
And I'm hearing Jared
you don't have to
call
listen
Malcolm
to this
Butler
every
minutes
day.
Before it happened.
I called it.
Oh, God.
I called it. Trevor Maddich is with us. Here's what we're going to do. Once again, breaking news. The Titans have signed Malcolm Butler. We're going to blow through this break. We're just going to go ahead and skip it. We're going to take 10 seconds for station identification. Trevor's with us. We're going to take your calls, too. Your reaction to Malcolm Butler to the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Again, Malcolm Butler to the Titans. First 10 seconds for station identification. This is ESPN 1025, The Game.
Locally owned, WPRT-FM Pegram, 97.5 Murfreesboro, WBUZ HD2 Laverne, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
One quick thought, though, on the Malcolm Butler stuff, Trevor, that I do want to get to again. The Titans have signed Malcolm Butler, if you're just joining us, 5 years, $61 million, 30 guaranteed. And, Trevor, one question I have for you on this from a draft standpoint. Now we know the Titans are out of the secondary discussion at 25. But how much does having Butler maybe make it easier for them on the front end of that defense to maybe go offense at 25 in the first round, knowing that maybe it makes it easier for a linebacker or for a pass rusher that may not have to carry as much of a load because now you have Malcolm Butler?
Well, it makes your pass rush better because now you've got more guys that can cover for a longer period of time. And if your cover guys can make a quarterback hesitate for another half second, literally 0.5, one half a second before he starts his throwing motion, it makes the world of difference for your pass rusher. So it makes everybody up there a whole lot better. That's important. But it's also important because now, all of a sudden, you've got a difference maker in the secondary without having to draft him. And now it gives you more of an opportunity to take not just the player on offense, but the player that you think is the best available because you're not filling a gaping hole there. You've got one less hole to fill, put it that way. And it allows you then to not have to reach because you've got a hole to fill. in the draft. And so that's a good thing from a standpoint of what they're able to do and what kind of player they're able to draft.
Floyd, how does Malcolm Butler affect the draft plans, in your opinion?
It eliminates one of the spots.
Because one of your needs was one defensive back, and they got the best one out there.
So, I mean, that whole thing is eliminated now. So now you're down to, you know, on defense, you got to get an inside pass rusher. I mean, inside linebacker and a pass rusher. And then you go over on offense, you got to get a running back. I mean, it simplifies a ton of things. And I mean, it's maybe the easiest way to improve the team.
Now, here's something to really think about from that standpoint, and that is receiver. The Titans got to get faster at receiver. They just have to get faster. Corey Davis, last year's first-round draft choice, I think he'll get better. Receiver is a tough position to step into the league and really step into big production as a rookie. And he had issues with injuries in his preseason and all that. But while he's developing, even so, you've got a bunch of receivers on this team that don't scare defenses about going deep. And there were a couple of receivers that ran blazing speeds in the combine. One of them is DJ Chark of LSU.
I like him.
He's extremely raw, but he was the fastest receiver in the combine, 4.33, I think. He'll need to learn how to run routes and stuff. But remember that Odell Beckham Jr. came out of LSU as a wide receiver, and we thought he was pretty good. He had some potential.
He's okay.
But they were a terrible passing college team, and I didn't have any idea Odell Beckham Jr. would become Odell Beckham Jr. Right? Well, DJ Chark, with that kind of speed, if he's able to be somehow productive on deep balls, it'll open up everybody else, including Corey Davis, underneath, and that's another way to help Marcus Mariota. And the fact that they don't need to shore up their cornerback position now in the draft means they might be able to go for a receiver like that.
Once again, the Titans have signed Malcolm Butler. Let's go to your phones, as we promised. Alex has been waiting patiently. He's up next, 615-737-1025. Alex, you go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm calling in. I got to be honest. I do not like this Malcolm Butler signing. I think he's the most overrated corner in the NFL. I think – I'm not saying he's a bad corner at all. I just think he's overrated, like not an elite corner. Like, I think that one play made him better than he was. And I think the benching was not just one thing. I think it was multiple things. I think it was because he was a bad locker room guy. Like, I saw all these reports in the past that he was a bad locker room guy, and Belichick just had enough and just benched him. And I'm worried he's going to be bad for the locker room with the Titans. And I think this is going to be like another cautionary signing, like Larry Brown in the 90s, who had like that big Super Bowl but then busted out in free agency. Or he's going to be – I feel like he's going to be – or Dexter Jackson or Malcolm Smith, who like had one good Super Bowl but then –
Yeah, Alex, I don't know if I can say that about a guy who's been an All-Pro. I appreciate your call. Like, he was an All-Pro after that play he made. And as far as the character stuff, you guys correct me if I'm wrong on this. If John Robinson, who's got Patriot ties, is cool with it, and Mike Vrabel, who's got Patriot ties, is cool with it, and Logan Ryan, who was on the Patriots, so he obviously probably talked to guys like McCourty or Daron Harmon, or, you know, not just from Belichick and not just from Malcolm Butler, but just talking around, if those guys all came together and said Malcolm Butler's not a bad teammate, I'm willing to accept that and say, okay, he's not bad for the locker room.
But maybe they did say he's a bad teammate, but that his contribution on the field overcomes that. That's the thing. Everybody's got an amount of slack. And the more you can contribute to winning, the more slack you get for being a piece of work off the field.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, and I don't disagree with that at all, but I don't think John or Mike would go that way. I mean, it's not that important yet.
Yet, that's a great point, because there's a honeymoon now. You got a brand new coaching staff, right? Mm-hmm. He's building the Patriot way here. At least that's the perception. That will take time. Ownership knows that will take time. And so right now is not the time to take a reach for a guy who's risky, because he may blow up your locker room, or he may not blow up your locker room, but he'll contribute on the field. That's not a risk you take in year one, unless you think it's a good risk. And so I'm more inclined to believe what you're saying, Jared, that they found information that, and then talked to the player and decided that it wasn't a threat to the locker room.
Like, if the Titans signed, I don't know, like, I mean, I don't want to say O.J. Simpson, But, like, if they signed a bad guy.
Someone accused of murder?
Right, yeah. So yeah. I don't want to say that. So okay. I'm not going to say that.
Don't say that.
But that was what, like, but if they signed a guy with, like, a with you know, that has a bad past, a locker room question mark, I would question it if it wasn't a Patriots guy when you have all these Patriot guys, including a guy who was on the Patriots and in those meeting rooms with Butler in Logan Ryan, making that decision.
That's a good point, but let's go back to another Titans situation. Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, but I could have told you. I was a fan watching the team, and I could have told you Albert Haynesworth was going to go to Washington and take a smoke
break.
Well, you should
have told the Redskins that, because he went out there and literally dragged down the franchise for a whole bunch of different reasons. And for all of his capability that he could contribute on the field, he did most of the time because he was a bad guy in preparation, a bad guy in the locker room, and he got a $100 million contract, if I remember correctly, out there. And all he did was set the team back about a decade, for goodness sake.
And this is what we were talking about earlier. This is one of the worst things that happens to a locker room. When you bring in – when the highest paid player, the guy that is making all the money, especially like that point in time, that was the largest contract ever. I mean, is a bad guy and you throw him in the locker room.
Okay, let me ask
you this.
That's
the worst possible scenario.
Current free agent, defensive lineman, Miami Dolphins, and Ndamukong Suh.
No.
Would you bring him in?
No.
Why?
Because he's a bad guy. He doesn't try hard on every play. Butler tries hard on every play. The question is, whatever Butler did before the Super Bowl, and I think John, Mike, and Logan Ryan have got that cleared up.
Okay, well, call him. You got him on speed dial.
And
call
I
him
think,
and
I well, think this. I think that you – when you are in that environment in New England, you're either in or out pretty quick. Like Albert, you know, Albert was in New England.
You brought him in, yeah.
Yeah.
He came into New England.
Minute and a half.
He lasted about it, and yeah. It was done. And I think a guy like Butler, if there were issues coming out of college, he would have been bounced right away. So for him to be able to hang in there, over how many years has he been there? Four years?
Or five, yeah.
5 years. I have to think that he's developed himself in the New England style model.
My takeaway from this discussion is that we want to know. We assume that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and all the Patriot connections have had conversations with Bill Belichick and others with the Patriots organization, and they're satisfied that Malcolm Butler, whatever happened at the Super Bowl, is not going to be a problem with the Titans, okay? We're assuming that, right. But we also know that we want to know. And I think that the Titans organization has and Malcolm Butler, by the way, have an obligation to satisfy fans, because if they don't, then like our previous caller, a lot of fans are going to be really mad. There will be a negative overtone to go with the hopefulness, and that negative overtone will drag down some of the hopefulness, especially if the Titans lose a couple games here and there on a long pass somewhere. And I think it's good for the Titans to put it behind them by coming clean with what happened and coming clean with why they believe it won't come here.
Trev, good to see you, and thank you for hanging with us. And basically busting into Malcolm Butler talk with us.
can I say one more thing about it?
Yes, yeah. You can.
Jared, you called it.
Oh.
Thank you, Trev. Thank you. I called it. I did 215 today. I called it. And Floyd laughed and chuckled. And the only thing that I want more now is for them to trade for Tevin Coleman from Atlanta. Because then I will really have called it. Trevor, thank you. Good to see you.
Talk to you later.
Right to your call.
Thanks, Trev.
615-737-1025. The Titans have signed Malcolm Butler from the New England Patriots, a 5-year, $61 million, 30 guaranteed contract. We're right to your calls next. Reaction to the Butler signing. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.